If you plan to buy one item commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I highly recommend the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. It's titled The Reformation. You'll want to display this richly illustrated book on your coffee table, in your church library, or anywhere you can easily flip through this informative and beautiful book. The Reformation is written by regular guest Dr. Cameron McKenzie. Learn more about The Reformation at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Yesterday we started some analysis and taking your reaction to a recent interview we did with Elizabeth Eaton, the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. But we didn't have time to complete it in yesterday's broadcast schedule, so we still have a couple of her answers to go through in the remainder of today's Issues Etc., and still anxious to take your reaction to the answers that either ones we looked at yesterday or what we'll hear today. You can react on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 25th, by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email. We'll get it right here in the studio in real time, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or you can leave your reaction at our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/issuesetc, Facebook.com/issuesetc. I want to begin where I left off yesterday by noting, kind of by way of summary, but also a heads up of what to listen for. And that is, one theme came through loud and clear to me in the course of that conversation with Bishop Eaton. And it was that I was dealing here with someone who could clearly articulate the gospel in a very isolated way. Now, what do I mean by that? She could clearly articulate that we are saved by grace, and her definition of grace, it's hard to assail it, and through faith. And her definition of faith, as far as I could kind of tease it out of her answer, was simple trust in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection for our salvation. Although the term she used more than salvation or forgiveness of sins was liberation. And again, you're dealing with someone who is schooled in the vocabulary of mainline liberal Protestantism. And they do tend to make everything an abstraction. Rather than the forgiveness of sins, which is a particular thing, it gets abstracted to liberation or freedom. Just be aware of that when in your own theological discourse. Abstractions really never serve sound theology very well. Sound theology is made up of particular things like sins and forgiveness. And when we talk about grace, it isn't an idea as much as it is the favorable disposition of God toward you solely for the sake of Christ. Now, if we strayed far from grace and faith, things kind of started to fall apart. She was not willing to say that on the other solas of the Reformation, that Christ alone saves. Christ certainly saves. It's the clearest revelation of how God deals with man, but maybe not the only one. And she was not willing to say unequivocally that there was salvation apart, that there wasn't salvation apart from Christ. She didn't think so, but she wanted to leave the door open to that possibility. And when it came to Scripture alone, it was very clear that what she considered to be authoritative about Scripture were those things that are heavenly things, those things that are spiritual things, and reason was sufficient with respect to all the other things that Scripture teaches, which is, again, not surprising. The gospel in isolation, isolated from the other teachings of Scripture, isolated even from any clear definition of things like salvation through Christ alone. This is a recipe for theological disaster. It's often said Lutherans are people of the gospel. I'm sure that Bishop Eaton would affirm that 100%. We are people of the gospel. But if we isolate the gospel from what Scripture teaches, from the gospel in it, all its articles, as I said yesterday, then we end up dismissing much of what Scripture teaches and, as we've seen with Bishop Eaton so far in her answers, even what makes the gospel itself. I ask this question, I want you to think about it. If we isolate the gospel from Scripture, if we compartmentalize it off from everything else Scripture teaches, so that the gospel's non-negotiable, at least the narrow way we define it, and everything else, because it isn't kind of the gospel, is, well, it's open to interpretation. Is the gospel that we claim to retain still the gospel? Is a salvation that is by grace through faith, but not in Christ alone, still the gospel? That's just a little way of review and to kind of focus our thoughts here. We come to the question, there's a question about not only the declining numbers of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America being eschewed by what she called Southern Hemisphere Christianity. I asked her to explain how the Ethiopian Evangelical Church, Makane Yesu, was distancing itself from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and the Lutheran World Federation, and moving in some ways more toward the Conservative Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Here was her answer.
Well, that's actually not what's happening. There had been a rift, this is true, between the ELCA and the ECMY, the Ethiopian body, and the Church of Sweden, but they never left the Lutheran World Federation. And in fact, we're seeing evidence, we're seeing movements of them saying we've always continued conversation with them. I sat back next to their president sometimes in the Lutheran World Federation council meetings. So they are more conservative on some of these social issues. There's no doubt about that. And we respect them for that. That is their context and their understanding of Scripture and the confessions. But they're not leaving the LWF.
What about their distance from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
That's actually, we're actually drawing closer again.
How so?
Well, not only are we talking to each other, but we're rebuilding those ties that were ruptured after 2009. And we have lots of things in common. We have companion synods in, or they would call them dioceses in Ethiopia, and so relationships between our synods and their judicatories over there. I have a good relationship with, had a good relationship with President Waxiam Idosa, and now I'm looking forward to working with their new president, and we had a chance to speak together at the Lutheran World Federation, and we're seeing where are ways that we can cooperate and move closer together.
This was a clever answer. It really was. Now, I had asked about the distance, the fact that Makane Yesu was distancing itself from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and the Lutheran World Federation. What I think she heard me ask was whether or not they'd left the Lutheran World Federation. I did not ask about them leaving, because, of course, they didn't leave the Lutheran World Federation, but they still had been distancing themselves from both the ELCA and from the Lutheran World Federation. So that was clever to say, well, they haven't left, and avoid the question about the distance between the two. She made reference to the 2009 rift that occurred between the Ethiopian Lutheran Church there and some of the other Lutherans in the Lutheran World Federation and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. What was the source of that rift? This is where I would have liked to have had a little more time just to follow up on this question. Because the source of that rift was, yes, yet again, the statement from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America on human sexuality. In particular, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's acceptance of homosexuality and its movement toward, at the time, and now fully ratified, toward the full inclusion of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in their clergy roster. That was the source of the rift. That was the bridge too far for the Ethiopian Lutherans. Now, she talks about growing closer together, repairing the rift, but what has been repaired? The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has not backed off its position on approving homosexuality or other deviant forms of human sexuality. They haven't backed off their position of affirming by ordination people for their clergy roster who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered. They haven't backed off of any of that. They may be talking, but I want to give the Ethiopian Lutherans the benefit of the doubt that they are not so foolish as to think that talking about these things longer will change what the Bible teaches about these things. And if the only way that this rift gets repaired in truth is if the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America repents of their position and returns to what the Bible teaches there. Another little bit of mainline Protestant liberal jargon is we appreciate their view on these things and their context, she said. Now, what does that mean? Is the context of Ethiopia somehow, is the Bible true there but not here in the United States? Is what the Bible teaches about human sexuality different in Ethiopia? And so there, we won't fault them for believing it as it is here in the United States, where we believe differently, where the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America believes differently? Context seems to have very little to do with whether or not a church body affirms or denies what Scripture teaches on any subject, much less human sexuality. Where you live? Now, I detect here, and this is just the cynic in me, I detect here a little bit of chauvinism, a little bit of, well, you know, we here in America are more enlightened than the Ethiopian Lutherans are. Their context is they still haven't come to our level of enlightenment. They will one day, but they are still a backward people. I'm not going to say it's racism, but what else does their context mean, if not that we understand the Bible in a more complete way than they do? Care to react to our conversation with the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Elizabeth Eaton, on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation? We got a long way to go and a lot of your reaction to get to. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Watch for that word, context, when it has to do with a shifting view of what the Bible teaches.
A confessional liturgical Lutheran congregation in Southeast Michigan in Rochester Hills. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. That's LCIW.org. We gather for the Divine Service every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. at Lutheran High School Northwest. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. Find us on the internet at lciw.org.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
Did you know that you can listen to our 24/7 talk and music stations using Amazon Echo? All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Public Radio.
Or, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio.
Lutheran Talk Radio.
Own thing, you know, there's this recognition that unrighteous mammon...
Lutheran music, Lutheran talk, anytime, day or night, on Amazon Echo.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people, and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000.
Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Getting your reaction during Open Lines Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 25th, to our interview with Elizabeth Eaton, presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, on the subject of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Winding down in our questions for Elizabeth Eaton, second last question that I posed for her is, did Luther and the other Lutheran reformers, did they intend to start a revolution?
If you mean a revolution in the sense of starting a new denomination, absolutely not. And Luther was very clear about that. In fact, he hated that the church would even be named after him. He got pretty graphic about what shouldn't be. But a revolution, I think it was more of a recovery work to recover or uncover this basic truth of the gospel that we've been liberated by God's grace, which presumes that we need to be liberated. It presumes that we're sinful and broken people. And Luther was not seeing that, and there's the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church now acknowledged that the church was missing that, if not officially, but at least, well, in some ways officially, but they were not representing that to the people. So there is a terrible burden. So Luther, I think, just really, that one full passage when he writes about when he finally understood what the righteousness of God meant, that this didn't mean our righteousness or we had to be righteous, but this righteousness of God was given for us. He just wanted everybody to hear that, because you can stake your life on this, and you have life in this, and he wanted everyone to hear it. And with the help of the printing press, the social media of the day, he was able to get the message out.
I think it's a fine answer as far as it goes. I would wonder, again, at the emphasis of kind of, she called it the basic truth of the gospel. Now, it's quite true that the gospel is at the heart of the Reformation. There's no doubt about it. It is the driving force. It is the main concern. It isn't the only concern of the Reformation. If it were the only concern of the Reformation, we wouldn't have these lengthy documents called the Lutheran Confessions that deal with the gospel in all its articles. That is, other doctrines, other teachings that were considered essential precisely because of the gospel. I'm not quibbling with her talking about the Reformation as an emphasis on the gospel, but on the emphasis of the basic truth of the gospel. I think we need to struggle with this as confessional Lutherans. We need to struggle with the fact that the Reformation, as it is recorded for us, not only in history, but in the Lutheran confessions, is ultimately about the gospel, but not only about the gospel. That we as Lutherans are people of the gospel, but we need to understand it that in terms of the gospel in all its articles, that what Scripture reveals to us, the reason none of it is unimportant or can be dismissed, is precisely because of the gospel. The gospel can never become, as it has in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, a tool to use against Scripture and what other things that Scripture teaches. When the gospel becomes a tool to dismiss other things that Scripture teaches, the cart gets put before the horse. I often say it this way: Lutherans care about everything in the Bible because of the gospel, because we firmly believe that everything in the gospel, everything in the Bible, directs us toward, indirectly or directly connects to the gospel. What we never do is use the gospel as an excuse to dismiss the other teachings of Scripture. If you hear your pastor preach a sermon on Sunday morning stating that Luther was a revolutionary, kind of the 16th century rebel interested in starting a new church, well, you need to find a new church. First of all, that's kind of a cult of personality for Luther. That just reduces Luther's concerns to anti-institutionalism. He was just a curmudgeon who chafed under church authority and wanted to see people, what was the term that Bishop Eaton keeps using? Liberated. That's why the question about Luther intending for a revolution is an important one. Because revolutionaries tend to want to liberate themselves, free themselves from any kind of authority. No, if you stop and think about it, what Luther wanted was to bring himself and everyone else under the authority of God's word. He wasn't seeking to throw off authority. He was seeking to bring himself and those who would hear this message back under the authority of God's word. The primary critique of the Roman Catholic Church and all the other streams of the Reformation ultimately becomes they have thrown off the authority of God's word with regard to the Lord's Supper or baptism or original sin or confession of sins or absolution. Whatever doctrine the Lutheran confessions deal with, always seek to bring that doctrine back under the authority of God's word. It is, in a lot of ways, an anti-revolutionary movement. Here's the final question that we laid before Bishop Eaton. And in this one, you need to listen carefully. I had asked her about unconditional subscription to the 1580 Book of Concord and carefully explaining what unconditional subscription means. You'll hear a little bit of it in here, that there are two ways to subscribe to the Lutheran Confessions, the 1580 Book of Concord. One is because it is a true exposition of God's word on the doctrines that it treats. The other is only insofar as it is a true exposition of the doctrine that it treats. In the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, the pastor is required in his ordination vow to, with the enumeration of the books, of all the documents in the 1580 Book of Concord, to pledge himself that he believes that this is a true and right exposition of Holy Scripture, and that he pledges himself to conduct all of his ministry and teaching according to those very symbols, those very documents. So I asked Bishop Eaton, how committed is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to unconditional subscription to the 1580 Book of Concord?
That's part of our ordination vows. Absolutely, we're committed to that.
Unconditionally?
How do you mean?
Well, I'm sure you're familiar with the kind of the classic Latin way of putting it. There's a quia subscription, that is because it is a right exposition of Holy Scripture, and then there's a quatinus subscription, which is insofar as it is in agreement with Scripture. Which do you think typifies the subscription in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
I'm not sure that there's a 20-second answer to that question. But no, the confessions are right exposition of and a witness to the gospel, and that's part of our ordination vows. We say that.
So when a pastor is ordained in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, are they asked to unconditionally subscribe to all those documents?
No, we don't ask them to unconditionally subscribe, but we say, will you preach and teach in accordance with the scriptures and the confessions?
And if any of the answers that Bishop Eaton gave were particularly slippery, I think this one was the slipperiest. I'm not impugning her motives. Again, I think she's working from a lexicon of liberal Lutheranism, liberal Christianity, and your lexicon determines how you think. Now, you notice what I said before, when in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we talk about the Lutheran confessions as right exhibitions of what Scripture teaches, of everything Scripture teaches. She tweaked that definition. Did you notice it? She said they are right exhibitions and witnesses to the gospel. Again, the gospel in isolation from Scripture. It's quite clear that the Book of Concord intends itself to be a witness to what Scripture teaches, not simply to the gospel. I think it's easy to say, oh yes, I think a Baptist could say, The Lutheran Confessions are a right exhibition of the gospel. Now, I don't believe a word it says about baptism of the Lord's Supper or anything else it treats, but when it comes to the gospel, it's a right exhibition of the gospel. But that's not what the Lutheran Confessions purport themselves to be. The gospel is at the center. But they purport themselves to be a right explanation, treatment, confession of what Scripture teaches, the gospel in all its articles. That's why I emphasize that theme here, taking the gospel, isolating it, and at times even using it as a tool to dismiss other things that Scripture teaches. Again, we affirm everything that Scripture teaches because of the gospel. We don't use the gospel to dismiss everything or anything else that Scripture teaches. Mark in Russia says this, "You certainly supersized her with the question regarding the Book of Concord. There was a definite change in tone and quite a bit of stammering on her part." I think she understood what I was talking about. But again, I think we're talking about interviewer and interviewee standing on two different planets when it comes to the definition of these things. It's one thing to ask your pastors to subscribe unconditionally to the Lutheran Confessions and the Book of Concord because they are right exhibitions of what Scripture teaches. It's an entirely different thing to ask them to subscribe or conduct their ministry according to them because they're right exhibitions of only the gospel. We'll be right back. To a man with a dream. Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues, Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, responding and getting your reaction to Elizabeth Eaton, presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, from a recent interview with her on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Feel free to join us with your questions, your comments, and your reaction to what you've heard. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. facebook.com/issuesetc. I can assure you that you won't find any liberal Lutheranism in the Lutheran Witness magazine. Lutheran Witness interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. They've got a great offer for you, 6 digital or print issues for only $6.99. Learn more about it at cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness. cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Dan in Colorado has this to say in reaction to our interview. Wow, what a great guest to have on your program. Thanks so much for having her. I hope it's possible to have her back again. I learned a lot. I definitely made some bad assumptions on how far from the first and chief article the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has moved. She demonstrated a real appreciation for what God was able to do through Martin Luther, which I did not expect. However, I was left confused. How could the bishop speak so clearly that God's word equals sound doctrine, then buckle under to cultural secularism for women pastors and gay marriage? I appreciate Todd's ability to interview guests that don't reconcile with our understanding of scriptures. Keep up the great work. Dan, thanks for listening in Colorado. Well, I can answer your question. How it is that she can affirm things like the chief article, at least two parts of it, grace and faith, maybe not Christ so much, and how she can at least externally affirm the scripture's authority, and then buckle under to, as you say, cultural secularism on women pastors and gay marriage. I can tell you exactly how it happens. And I've used the term now many times. I'll use it again. Gospel reductionism. That's how it happens. It happens when you, a simple definition is you affirm the gospel, but not much else. Or you affirm the gospel and then you pick and choose what it is you want to affirm or deny in what scripture teaches, as long as you hold to the gospel. Gospel reductionism is a way of approaching scripture that says, the gospel isn't only the most important thing, it's the only important thing ultimately. And other things may be peripherally important or maybe not that important. It is, gospel reductionism isn't saying that the gospel is the most important thing or that it's the vital thing in scripture. But when the gospel is used to dismiss other things that scripture teaches, you're dealing with gospel reductionism, and that's why it can be done. And it's done on a daily basis every single day in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Every single decision that they have taken to compromise on the Word of God, whatever doctrine it may be, either as individual pastors or as an entire church body, every single decision they have taken, they have said they're doing it for the gospel. They're doing it because of the gospel. They ordained women. Why? Because they believed that it was a more gospel-centered thing to do than to not ordain them. So they used the gospel as an eraser to erase Scripture's clear words on who holds the pastoral office. When they affirmed homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, bisexuality, both as a lifestyle and among their clergy, guess what? They did it in the name of the gospel. They did it because they thought it was a more gospel-centered thing to do than to not affirm those things. They even talked about the gospel binding their consciences to affirm these things. How the gospel binds one's conscience, I do not know. The last time I checked, only the law can do that. But they did it in the name of the gospel. They did it because they thought the gospel demanded it of them. And again, they took up the gospel as they now define it and used it as an eraser to erase those parts of God's word that made it quite clear that the Church of Christ can never affirm such things, must continue to address those things as sin along with every other sin. You know, I think it'd be more obvious if they did it with theft, embezzlement, or something like that. If they said, look, there are an awful lot of people out there in this hurting culture who are guilty of theft, who are thieves. They steal on a regular basis. It's their lifestyle. We need to affirm them. We know what the Bible said in the past in its context about stealing, but these people are hurting and they need the gospel. We need to affirm them in this lifestyle. The gospel demands it of us. If they did, everyone look at them as though they had just done what they really did, use the gospel as an eraser for other matters of God's word. Stan in Dallas says, the bishop sounds very sincere in her beliefs, and it's well thought out and well spoken, but her being a pastor speaks very loudly about her and her view of scripture. How many times has it been said, first God created us in his image, and then we created God in our image? The God that she and the ELCA have created is okay with homosexuality, gay marriage, women preachers, etc., and on and on. We want a God who will widen the path and swing wide the door, but his path is narrow and few be there that find it, says Stan in Dallas. Thank you very much for your comment. It's quite true. All this in an attempt, as I've often said, to be more gracious than God, to be kinder, more loving than God, and to turn the gospel into an affirmation of sin and whatever it is you want to believe and practice, rather than what it is, the forgiveness of sins in Christ alone. This answers my question. Is the gospel affirmed, a gospel that can be used as an eraser to erase parts of Scripture, is that still the gospel? I think the question's answered. No, it is not. It might sound an awful lot like the gospel. Might use the same terms, grace and faith, might be a little wishy-washy on Christ alone, but it isn't the gospel. The true gospel does not trump any text of Scripture, does not require you to ignore a single syllable of what the Bible says, and does not render anything the Bible says irrelevant or superlative or something that you can ignore. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series on the conservative Reformation, talking with Dr. Larry Rast about the Trinity. Why is it that the Reformers were so concerned in their teaching, in their prayer, with continuing to refer to God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Why is it that, even though this was not a big bone of contention at the time of the Reformation, they continually returned to the doctrine of the Trinity? We'll find out tomorrow on Issues Etc. We'll also discuss the Lord's Prayer and its petition, Lead Us Not Into Temptation. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest, and we'll get a bio on obscure Lutheran saints with Matthew Block. Lutherans are people of the gospel, but the gospel as it is presented in Scripture, not the gospel that we have refashioned into what we want it to be. If you, your pastor, anyone else, can manage to use the gospel to ignore, rub out, or erase anything Scripture says, you don't have the gospel anymore. I'm sorry. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The law assumed sermon, the gospel afterthought sermon, the God loves you anyway sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.